Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some readings that will kind of help form the basis for our meditation tonight. First, from Romans chapter 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it was to covet if the law had said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Our second reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered far from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Commercials. Do you ever watch commercials? I don't watch many of them anymore because I have a DVR, right? And you fast forward through them, right? But sometimes I still see these commercials. And man, let me tell you, there are some commercials out there that after I watch them, I want what's on that commercial. I may not even need it. Like, I don't even, like, I have like a year's supply of razor blades by my Costco at its time, but there's these cool commercials for Dollar Shave Club. You see them out there? And I'm like, I'm going to buy those right now. I'm going to call and order some right now. Go on my computer and order some just because it's such a cool commercial. And there's the ones with the orange Lexus, too. You know, that one gets me. Every time I see it, I want that orange Lexus. I do have one, thanks to a member. It's about this big. It's hard to drive around, but I do get in it now and then. But commercials, my goodness, they're bad. They're not good for you. Or you know what? Now that we live in a neighborhood with houses again, I'll sit out and I'll watch my neighbors. I'll notice that those neighbors down there, he has a Ford truck parked in front of his house, but in his garage he has a Land Rover and a Lexus. That's quite nice, isn't it? And that one over there, well, man, they do some fancy yard work. If maybe I could spend the money they do and have fancy yard work, that would be pretty good, right? You know what I'm talking about. We've all done that before, right? Yeah, so you kind of get the idea about coveting. That's kind of the idea behind coveting. And I'm a grand champion coveter, if that's a word. I really am a grand champion coveter. I see something, and I want it. And sometimes I see it, and it stays on my mind for a little too long. And that's not healthy. And we're going to talk about why it's not healthy tonight. Coveting is one of those things that's hard to explain. There are many things that go into it in reality. It's one of those things that I hate teaching in confirmation. I would rather teach about adultery than coveting to the kids. I'll be honest with you. Because at least adultery, and by eighth grade, they all know what's we're talking about. They may giggle through it, but they know what we're talking about. But coveting, can anybody define coveting with a definition that's in one sentence? It's just hard to do. So let's look at some things that coveting is. One thing that I hear a lot about with coveting is the term jealousy. Jealousy does not go with coveting. We have to understand the difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is an emotion over anticipated loss of something we already have. That's jealousy. I'm jealous over my wife. I don't want to lose my wife. I'm jealous over my car. It's already mine. I don't want to lose my car. Okay? So we take jealousy out of the equation. Jealousy is the emotion that is anticipated loss of something we already have. So the word jealousy can't fit what coveting is. But we do look at envy. Envy is longing, desire, deep arousal to have someone else's possessions. Does that sound like coveting? You betcha. It sure does. Envy is a good way to describe coveting. Greed. I looked up greed because I was like, how do you define greed? And it said this, intense, selfish desire for someone else's goods or property. Well, that kind of sounds like coveting too, doesn't it? So I believe a good way for us to open it up and to talk about coveting is to say that coveting is envy and greed. But there's something else about coveting that I thought was very interesting. Coveting, according to Martin Luther, goes hand in hand with lusting. Because sometimes we think the word lust always has to do with sexuality, but it doesn't. Lust is a deep, arduous desire to have something that isn't yours. Sometimes a passionate, arduous desire to have something that isn't yours, like an orange Lexus. Right? And so, in actuality, if you look at the biblical definition of greed in the Greek, if you look at the Greek and use the words and flesh them out, lusting and coveting go hand in hand. And what God says is, I don't like you wanting things that aren't yours. It's okay to want things in life. I mean, I want a candy bar. That's not bad to say, right? What's wrong with that? I want to take a shower tomorrow morning. Nothing wrong with that, right? I really want a new pair of jeans because serving this church, I've outgrown my jeans. I don't understand why. There's so many good cooks around here. I either need that or I want a gym membership, and I think I'd rather have the jeans than the gym membership. But you understand what I'm talking about, right? There's nothing wrong with wanting something. But when it takes over our thoughts, when it becomes an issue of deep desire, or when it becomes an issue of using all of our money, America's really good at this, right? You know what the average credit card debt is in America? The average, I just heard. It was higher than what I thought. $45,000 is the average credit card debt, consumer debt in the United States, consumer debt. $45,000 is the average consumer debt in the United States. There's a big problem with being covetous in our country. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are willing to go in debt to buy something that you really shouldn't have, now a house and a car, that's a different story. But if you're willing to pop out the credit card to get five new pairs of jeans, then something's wrong somewhere. Right? Coveting becomes a real big issue. And a real big issue in our country, the United States of America. And it's really interesting because I think Paul, in our lesson for tonight, in speaking to Timothy, says something that is the exact opposite of coveting. What he says to Timothy is, seek out godliness, seek out living a life of godliness, but living a life of godliness with contentment. How would you describe contentment? What is contentment? Being satisfied? Happy with what you have? Okay, anything else? I think that's pretty good, right? Being satisfied or happy with what you have? Do we hear that in our country nowadays? Do we hear it on the commercials? No. Do we see it on the billboards?
No, you need more.
When you're ordering at McDonald's and they say, do you want to upsize that?
No.
Don't be content with a regular size when you can have the, what do they call it now?
Super
size. I don't know, every restaurant has something different. You go to Burger King and a small used to be like this size and now it's this size, right? And that's a small. Yeah, you deserve it, right? You deserve it. But that's the problem, right? And what Paul is talking about to Timothy is, listen, seek godliness in your life. And we all know what godliness looks like. We can preach on that another time. But what he says is, seek it with contentment. Learning to be content with what you have. I am not good at that. I am bad at that. I will tell you that I'm bad at that. That's an area of my life I need to work on, is being content. Because I'm not. I'm never content. I'm always 10 miles ahead, going a different direction, wanting something new, trying something different. And they say, well, that's just your personality. But maybe it's just I haven't learned what contentment is yet. For me as a little boy, learning contentment was very hard. Because for me as a little boy, I grew up in a situation where we didn't have a lot of money, and so we wore a lot of hand-me-downs. You remember those, right? And I remember one time, this was bad, I shouldn't tell you this, I'll confess to you what I did. I was in fifth grade, and when I was in fifth grade, Sebago shoes were popular. Does anybody ever remember Sebago shoes? Anybody remember those? Okay, only one person, wow. Sebago shoes were really popular, right? Anybody my generation, you remember Sebago? No, you don't even remember, my wife doesn't even remember Sebago shoes. You were in Iowa, Nebraska, they didn't even have shoes then. So anyhow, of course I was in Tennessee, so I don't know much about that. So it was these things, not Sebagos. And I had the lookalikes because we couldn't afford them. We got them at Kmart. We couldn't afford to pay the $50 they wanted for Sebagos, and mine were $10. And some boy got down and looked at the label and started making fun of my non-Sebago shoes. So I accidentally kicked him. He didn't look at my shoes anymore and make fun of them. But when you're raised, I think, in a way that you come from a situation in life where you don't have a lot of things, it's hard to be content sometimes because you learn to want more and want better. And it's just that sinful desire that wells up within us. And then it's the flip side for some people. Some people I know are very content, and they were raised with contentment.
You want what you don't have.
You want what you don't have. That's right. That's right. And Isla said it, so it's true. But seek godliness with contentment. Be happy with what you have. Tonight, God brings us back full circle in our commandments. This is very interesting to me. And something that I noticed when I was studying these Ten Commandments. God brings us back to the beginning. God is an orderly God. Would you agree that God is an orderly God or a God of structure? Would you agree with that? If you don't, you're not Lutheran, okay? God is an orderly God, a God of structure. There are three commandments in the first table. How many are in the second table? Seven. Yes, you have to do the math, right? Three and seven, right? How many days did he create the world? 7 days, six and rested on the seventh, okay? God is an orderly God. We can see it all throughout Scripture, especially in the use of numbers. There is meaning behind that because God is a God of order and structure. That's how God operates. He's a Trinity, one, two, three, all right? Okay. God is also sometimes uses cycles or cyclical patterns to help us see things in Scripture. I call the Old Testament cycle where the Israelites were in God's favor and then they kind of got a little too big for their britches and then they fell out of God's favor and then they got back into repentance and then they're back into God's favor. I call that the cycle of the Old Testament, right? Well, the Ten Commandments are a cycle. How are they a cycle? The reason St. Paul says to Timothy, seek godliness with contentment, is this main reason. The moment your mind or my mind becomes more focused on something else other than God, we've broken the first commandment. We have now put another God before the God who has created us. Do you see that? The moment that happens, the moment we fail being content, because being content is the opposite of being covetous, right? Would you agree? Right. The moment we fail in seeking godliness and contentment, we've come back to the first commandment and we put another God before God. Isn't that amazing? So through our journey in the Ten Commandments, I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope you've learned a lot. I hope you've seen some things you haven't seen before. If you haven't, I'm sorry. I did my best to try to bring out new areas. The one thing for us to always remember is what St. James says. If you break one commandment, what do? You break them all. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ died for us. That's what Lent is all about, right? Focusing on the fact that we're sinful and in need of a Savior. And all through these studies of the commandments, we have all seen how we are sinful. And we know without any doubt that we are in need of a Savior. And God in Jesus has provided us a Savior to die for us in our place, to die for us to give us His righteousness, to die for us to give us His forgiveness. And to 3 days later, rise for us so that we will live with Him for eternity. The only way we can truly live the commandments in our lives is by first living in the grace of Jesus Christ, which is his forgiveness and his love. By being in his forgiveness and his love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to live a godly life to the praise and honor of our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.